Good morning, beloved ones. You should see what I see. Turn to someone and tell them, I feel so good I can hardly stand it. I can tell, boy, when spirit is moving. It's all good. You know, beloved ones, we have been working with some wonderful ideas and principles and concepts, working with identifying some spiritual laws for living. Because that's what we're all about, isn't it? Trying to live our lives and trying to do so in the best way possible. Trying to uncover what it is that will allow us to actually live more fully, more consciously, more abundantly. And we learned a couple of things. We learned that under the law of divine life, that we are called to embrace this thing called life, that we are called to live it with passion and purpose. And under the law of divine love, we learned and noted that is the quality that will enable us to bring forth healing and harmony and peace in our relationships and in our lives, that those are very critical laws for us to invoke as we go about our journey of living. And so with an understanding of those two laws, we know that we're on the right track and that we're laying down a solid foundation for ourselves. But if we are going to make this thing called life work, if we're going to somehow get more out of it, or maybe I should say even put more into it, then we're going to have to start with the central figure within it, that the principal person involved. And of that, of course, is what? That's us, ourselves. We are the central figure in our lives, the prime player. And we have big roles to play. We play the biggest role in our lives. Not necessarily our family, our relatives, our friends, our associates, our boss, our colleagues, acquaintances, and strangers, you know, the world. We play the biggest role in our own lives. We have the greatest impact. We may think other things and people have the greatest impact and influence upon us, but no, we have the greatest impact on our success or on our shortcomings, on our happiness or on our discontent, you know, on our sense of fulfillment or even on our sense of lack. We have the greatest impact. So in truth then, we could think of it as this way, that it all really boils down to how in touch we are with ourselves. How in touch we are with ourselves. And not just with our hopes and our dreams and our wants and our desires, but with our fears, our flaws, our shortcomings and imperfections. How in touch are we with those things? In short, with our character blips. I won't call them character defects, I'll call them character blips. How in touch are we with those? Because you see, no one really likes to look at those things within themselves, much less to even admit that they have any character flaws. You know, I don't have any character flaws, I'm perfect. Because that's hard to do. It's hard, isn't it? Truly, yes. But I say this, friends, that if we are going to live an authentic life, we're talking about laws for living, and we want to get the most out of it and the best, and if we're going to be able to live an authentic life, a full life, a whole life, if we're going to be able to feel fulfilled in life, and if we're going to be able to reach our highest potential, achieve our goals, acquire our dreams, then we are going to have to be willing to see where we get in the way of those things, because we do. We have to be willing to see where we might actually be the unconscious sabotager of our dreams. And I say the unconscious sabotager because none of us really consciously goes around doing things that would limit our experiences. We don't do that consciously. However, it happens nonetheless. And so we have to begin to look at ourselves maybe perhaps as we've never done before. There's a spiritual quality that I believe is essential, not only to our well-being, but it is essential to our spiritual growth and our spiritual unfoldment. And that is integrity. Integrity. Because you see, integrity speaks to our character, right? It speaks to our character. And I love the thought that, you know, your character is what you do when nobody else is looking. That's right. When nobody else is, your character speaks to your ability to do the right thing, even if nobody else knows about it. And especially when nobody else knows about it. That speaks to character. Very often we'll say someone is weak of character because people might do things when they think, oh, somebody's watching. Let me do the right thing. Let me be seen as being righteous. See? And so if we think we're not going to get caught or nobody will know, and we go, well, what would hurt, then we're out of character. And so this is very important, that integrity, and it has a spiritual connection, friends, because integrity speaks to your character, and your character speaks to your consciousness. It speaks to your consciousness. And we might even say that your consciousness is what happens when nobody else is looking either. Your consciousness is not where it shows up just when you're, not when you're just in church and you're speaking the affirmations and you're praying and, you know, somebody says, oh, yes, praise the Lord, and you give something positive. Your true consciousness has to do with what you really think and feel when nobody else is inside your head. And so this is important because in truth, we know that everything that we have by right of consciousness. That's a spiritual law in truth, that you have what you have in your life, be it good or for ill, by right of consciousness. That is your thoughts, your feelings, your perceptions, your attitudes, your beliefs, right? Because those are the things that draw to you what you have in your life. And so then it stands to reason that if your character is flawed, then your consciousness will be affected. And if your consciousness is not quite right, then that which appears in your life will be what? Not quite right. There's a connection. Integrity has a lot to do with honesty. How honest are you? You know, we've all been taught, hopefully, as children, to always be honest and to tell the truth. Remember when you were a child and you thought you could, because children learn, try very early on. They did there was a little testing that they'd done about when does a child begin to lie, the earliest age, and they figured it out very early, right? That I might be able to get away with this if I tell something else. And so, you know, as children, we were always what? Tell mommy the truth, tell daddy the truth. Hopefully we were taught that. But most of that was in relationship to others, you see. Make sure you tell others the truth. But as now mature adults, as what we might call quote-unquote good people, spiritual people, we try not to engage in being dishonest because we're adults now. We try not to be to engage in being dishonest with others or to engage in blatant lying and cheating and stealing and deception. None of us want to have those qualities attached to our being. But I say this. How honest are we with ourselves, about ourselves, to ourselves? See, we know we're not going to do any of those other things blatantly. We're aware of that. But how honest are we actually with ourselves, about ourselves? Do you really tell the truth to yourself? How in touch, you see, are we with why we do the things we do? Are we really in touch with our true feelings and not just our surface emotions? Because most of the time we can be in touch with, we know when we're upset, we know when we're angry, we know when we're disturbed, right? We know when we like something and don't like something. That's the surface emotion. But how in touch are we with the true feelings? What lies beneath our upset, our anger, our frustration? What's underneath all that? How readily do we admit to or even look at our flaws and our faults? Do we look at them? Our weaknesses, our mistakes? Do we say, you know, this was a mistaken judgment on my part? Do we look at those things? Or are we quick to defend our actions, to justify our actions, or to make excuses when we are somehow called on our stuff? More likely than not, the answer is yes. And we do so, friends, at the prompting of the ego. Quick to defend, because you see, our ego sees its job as being always at the ready to defend and protect at any cost. It's going to protect us. And while it doesn't necessarily, I mean, it has some redeeming qualities. I don't want to make the ego out to be some bad thing, because it has some redeeming qualities and a purpose. But for the most part, it doesn't really help us to be truly honest with ourselves. Because its job, it thinks, is to keep us in the dark, to protect us, right? And so it doesn't help us in being honest, because what it will do is it keeps us in the dark about what it is that we may need to heal or to see within ourselves. The ego's not going to allow you to see your real self, your true feelings, you see? And so it wants us not necessarily, and because of that, then we don't get to heal. And which is why we keep having the same challenges and the same problems over and over again. See? Or which is why sometimes we often may even feel or see ourselves as being victims, because it's always something that's being done to us. It's never anything that we really are doing to ourselves. We couldn't admit that, see that, think about that. And so we remain in a victim consciousness. Or what happens is we can't heal. We do the same thing over and over because we can't see it. And if we're not truthful, friends, with ourselves, then it makes it difficult for us to be able to lay hold of the true power of the truth. And I'm talking about T now, with a capital T. See, if we're not truthful with ourselves, you can't grab that truth, the spiritual truth. We're not in alignment at that point. We're not functioning from a place of wholeness, because we're only seeing ourselves in part. We're only seeing the world in part. But being in integrity means being in alignment, being in that state of wholeness, being having that integral part of everything working together, which means that what you think and what you feel and what you say and what you believe and what you value and what you express are all working together. All in alignment. And when any one of those things are not necessarily working together or not in alignment, then we experience inner conflict and limitation. You know, we might say one thing and then we do another. And we're in conflict. We believe one thing, or at least we profess to believe one thing, but then our actions are contrary to our beliefs. There's a wonderful story in the Bible about a man who brings his sick child to Jesus to be healed. And the child can't speak, and he often has violent convulsions. And this takes place when Jesus has just come down from the mount with Peter, James, and John, and he's just had his transfiguration experience, where Peter, James, and John get to see Jesus in all of his glory, and they also get to see Moses and Elijah along with him. And so after having this, he went apart with just those three, Peter, James, and John, which is faith, wisdom, and love. I love that, because he always took faith, wisdom, and love with him wherever he went. Peter, James, and John, they were the main disciples, which probably upset some of the other disciples, but that's a whole nother lesson. But the four of them have just come down, and meanwhile, the other disciples are down there, and they're trying to do the work. And this is what happens. And I'm reading from Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to 29. It says, at the foot of the mountain, they found a great crowd surrounding the other disciples, as some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. The crowd watched Jesus in awe as he came towards them, and they ran to greet him. What is all this arguing about? He asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I have brought my son for you to heal him. He can't speak because he's possessed by an evil spirit that won't allow him to talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth and grind his teeth and become rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus said to them, speaking to the disciples now, you faithless people, how long must I be with you until you believe? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. When the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, withering and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was very small. The evil spirit often makes him fall into the fire or into water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. Do something if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly replied, I do believe, but help thy mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the spirit of deafness and muteness, and he said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy lay there motionless, and he appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd, he's dead. But Jesus took the boy by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that spirit? And Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. Now, I like this because the father runs up, okay? They just came down, Jesus and the other three disciples came down from this tremendous experience, and the remaining disciples are down there trying to, you know, do the work, trying to heal this young boy, and they're arguing with the religious leaders, and I'm sure that they were on edge trying to put forth the truth that they knew, right? And yet they couldn't heal this young boy. And Jesus says, you know, you faithless people, how long will I have to put up with you until you believe? How long do I have to be with you until you believe? So then the father says, when he asks Jesus to heal him, he says, look, have mercy on us and help us and do something if you can. And don't you love Jesus' response? What do you mean, if I can? He says, anything is possible to a person who believes. And then the father instantly says, I do believe, but help thou my unbelief. You see, even when we believe, friends, there are areas within us that really speak to our unconscious unbelief, our unconscious doubts, our unconscious fears. Even when we believe something on the surface, and we can do that, we can believe something with our conscious mind, but be in conflict with that very same belief in the innermost parts of our being, be in conflict underneath the surface of that belief, of that professed belief. And this is what gets in the way, you see, of our manifestation, because consciously we're saying it, we believe it, but unconsciously, something else is taking place. We're not in alignment. We're not in alignment. The disciples were with Jesus. They loved him, and they truly wanted to believe. They wanted to do the work. But even they had difficulty casting out and said, and Jesus said, look, this kind can only come out by what? By prayer. And some scriptures say fasting and prayer. And how did he tell them that they must pray? He said, whenever you pray, you must pray believing. See, it's not enough just to say words. You have to get into belief. Belief. And so he says, you know, you got to believe. You have to have faith. And they wanted to, and they had some belief, but it was because of their own unrecognized, unacknowledged doubts, fears, and areas of unbelief. They weren't able to heal. And we all have unacknowledged, see, unrecognized areas of doubt, of fear and unbelief. But if we're going to come into our own, friends, if we're going to come into our power as spiritual beings and spiritual masters, then we must be willing to bring the unacknowledged into the light, the unacknowledged doubt and fear and belief into alignment. You got to be willing to bring it into alignment with what we say we believe and what we say we want to be about. It's got to go deep here. That means we have to get in touch with our true feelings. We have to get in touch with our true fears, our true selves, and bring it all into the light. Got to bring it into the light. The scripture says, you know, that which is done in the dark is going to be shown in the light at some point anyway. It's going to come up. It'll be seen. You can't hide it forever. And so we need to be able to bring this stuff into the light. We have to be willing to bypass, you see, the ego's need to protect and defend us. Because the ego's like, oh, no, no, don't say that. Oh, don't reveal that. Oh, no, 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 don't think that. You see, got to protect and defend. But you got to bypass that ego's need so that we can be in alignment with the truth of us. We can be in alignment with that which will bring us that which we desire. And that you got to bring it into the light. The light, and I might do next message, might be on divine light. The light of God is powerful. Light is healing. Light is revealing. It's powerful. So we've got to bring it into the light because that's the only way we're going to come into our power. Only way. And so what will it take for us to bring this stuff into the light, even the stuff that we're unaware of? I think one way is for us to learn to be vulnerable. To be vulnerable. That is to allow ourselves to see or expose our weaknesses and our imperfections. To be exposed. See, you know, the sign of the cross means what? You really exposed when you're out this way, aren't you? Here, it's all here. But most of us kind of make sure that we protect and guard this space. We guard our heart. We guard our true feelings. But we got to be willing to be open, receptive, be vulnerable. Because you see, if we can't see our weaknesses and our faults and our flaws and our humanity, if we can't see them in ourselves, then we can't heal them. If you can't acknowledge them in yourself, you cannot heal it within yourself. And what happens, you see, if we begin to hide, and if we hide it from ourselves, and the ego wants us to hide it from ourselves and from others, but if we hide it from ourselves and from others, then we can't heal. And that, this is the important part. What remains unhealed within us, friends, will control us. Not only will it control us, but it will begin to influence our actions and our behaviors. What remains unhealed. It'll keep us from reaching and expressing our highest potential and our authentic, powerful selves. And so if you find yourself reacting strongly to something or to someone, even if you feel justified, even if you are right, ask yourself, what is my reaction really about? What is it saying about me? What am I afraid of? And I'm not talking about our strong reactions perhaps to social injustice and that type of thing. But I'm speaking about our reactions, our personal reactions to our interactions with others where we might feel personally attacked, personally threatened or invalidated or treated unfairly or unjustly. What happens is we begin to look at the other person, and we all do this, I do this, and I say try not to get hung up on the other person's behavior even if you know that it's wrong. And you may have to deal with that at some later point, but first take some time to look at and work with your own reaction, to be honest with what it might be saying about you. You see, one of our biggest fears is the fear of rejection. That's why we don't want to be vulnerable. We might be rejected, that somehow if other people really see our imperfections, see our blemishes, our poor judgment, or whatever it is, that they won't accept us. And so we hide them from ourselves and them. But when we do that, friends, you know what happens? We inadvertently stifle our authenticity. We stifle ourselves. Then we begin to fail to live our truth. We fail to speak our truth. We fail to be our true selves. And when that happens, we're out of alignment. We're out of alignment. We're out of integrity then with who we truly are. And if you're going to be a spiritual being and a spiritual master, you got to be in alignment. You got to be in integrity. Everything has to begin to work together. Because in order for you to be your true self, you have to be honest with yourself. And when you can honestly see yourself with all of your stuff, your limitations, your flaws, your defects, you know, when you can really see it, an amazing thing begins to happen. They begin to diminish. When you look at your flaws and own them and say, all of a sudden, that light that you said, they begin to diminish in the light of truth. Right? You know about a shadow, right? Shadows only exist because we're not, you know, the light is casting something behind us. But when you bring everything into the light, the shadows, the darkness disappears and it diminishes. Your faults, because they don't have as much weight. Let me tell you this, your faults, your flaws, and all these things that you're afraid to own and look at, they only have power when they are unacknowledged. Because when they are acknowledged and seen, they dissipate. That's powerful. So we should let everything within us come to light. You got to work hard with the ego, because this job is not going to want you to see a thing. But we have to let everything come to light. And when we do, then the light of truth and the light of God will heal you. That light of God will heal you. The love of God, as we say every Sunday, will begin to enfold you. And that power of God that we're so afraid of seeing somebody seeing, but the power of God will begin to protect us always. So we don't have to be afraid. We got the light, the love, the power, the protection of God always. And if we could somehow, friends, believe this, if we could believe that it's okay, that we're going to be all right, that we are all right just as we are, and we bring it to light and we let it shine, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything, it all begins to just, that light begins to heal us, cleanse us. That's what happened to Jesus in his hour of temptation. He let the light of truth come, and it just moved all of that ego stuff out of the way. You could be king. You could be great if you give me all your power. He said, no, I know who I am. He exposed that part of himself, and he became who he was as a spiritual being. And so if we could believe this about ourselves, believe it with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and accept it within ourselves, we're going to be blessed, friends. We're going to be blessed beyond our wildest imaginations. And this, I tell you, is the God to honest truth. Blessings.